I gave this illustration once before, and I want to use it again. I didn't bring a torch tonight, but normally a torch has two 1.5 volt batteries. Amen? Those two 1.5 volt batteries, when they're brand new, can be pretty bright, can't they? For a torch, they can actually illuminate quite a bit. But let's say that we could plug those two 1.5 volt batteries into your mains, switch off the ESB, and now let's try to turn on your fridge, and your television, and your cooker, your electric shower, your stereo, your computer, your clock radio, and all the mobile phone chargers that are spread around the house. And what will happen?
Nothing.
Well said. There are people who actually have figured out and rewired their home to operate on wind power, where they actually have a windmill outside of their house, and they have a 12 to 15 volt charger and battery system outside of their house, and their house is run on that 12 to 15 volts like a boat might be. But they have very few items in their house running on electricity. Now, I couldn't live very long on a limited amount of power. I don't know if you could, but we use more and more electricity all the time. The longer I'm saved, the more I go on in the Christian life, the more I find out how much more power I need to live. I don't think it's an accident that our world has more and more electronic gadgets, more and more things that are a drain on the electrical power, and it connects with just how much power we need from the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know this is do you know why most people give up on living the Christ-like life? Do you know why they give up reading and studying and praying as they read through their Bible? Do you know why they stop telling people about how to be born again? These are all problems in Christianity. Do you know why people leave off praying until the very last minute? It's because they discovered that they just don't have the power. They find that it's hard, it is unenjoyable, it is intense, it is a lot of effort when there's no push, no real zim, no real zing, no real power in the Christianity that they're trying to live. They're living a stale, empty ritual. Would you agree with that? If your Bible reading is only a ritual, it will grow old. Just as quickly as a marriage will grow old. Amen? Now, the power of the Holy Spirit. If we know what our purpose is as a Christian, to be like Christ, and we know our purpose is to glorify the Lord, and if we attempt to do it in our own power, not only will we fail, but we will experience one of the hardest lives imaginable. I want to remind you that Christianity is Christ working in us and through us in the power of His Holy Spirit. And if we could just be reminded at the amount of power that is available to us. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 18. And Paul, the great Texan, says it this way, Romans 8, 18, for I reckon. Amen. I reckon. Got to talk outside your mouth, you know. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? And I've described this several times before, but I want you to understand one of these days we're going to arrive in heaven and the Lord's going to unzip that flesh and He's going to show you what was really inside you all along that you never tapped into. Now, New Age gurus talk about the power inside you, and it's not the power, it's the person that's inside you. And yes, He's very powerful. He is the Holy Spirit of God. I've already prayed, so I want to move right into this thing. There's going to be four things we're going to talk about very briefly. I'm going to remind you of the lack of power in our lives, the purpose of spiritual power that's supposed to be behind our lives. I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible of the Holy Spirit power. And then I want to show you the need, the intense need for us to want, to hunger, to thirst for that power. First of all, the lack of power. There's not a person in this world, in this room, who doesn't realize just how powerless we are. There are really only two ways of living as a believer, and I talked about it this morning. The first way is to live the carnal way, the natural way, the way that just comes naturally. You come to church if you feel like it. You come to church if nobody's upset you, or if nobody has set you off, or if there's nobody down there that you're mad at, you'll go to church. Amen? That's the carnal way. You read your Bible if all of a sudden there's a lot of things going on in the world and somebody actually on television or somebody actually crosses your path and says, that's in the Bible. And you'll sit down going, ooh, I'd like to see that, because it's a spur of the moment kind of infatuation with an element instead of with the truth. So the carnal person is one way to try to live as a believer, the carnal way. But then there's a second way, and that's the conquering way. That's the way that is what we're calling the Spirit-filled life. Our Lord, it says there in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says that He returned in the power of the Spirit. And believe you me, He lived that way every day of His life. There was never a day where Jesus lived a carnal life. There was never a day where He reacted as a man. He reacted as the Messiah. He reacted as the Son of God. He reacted, yes, He was in the flesh. Yes, the striking across His face hurt. Yes, the attack and what is it when you say something that libels them? I don't know. Well, yes, verbal abuse, but when they say things that aren't true about Him, I'm trying to think, starts with an M, huh? False accusations, so on and so forth. He felt every one of those attacks against Him, but He responded as the Son of God and not as a man. Now, there are two ways to live, either the carnal way or the conquering way. The carnal person trusts in their efforts. They trust that they are able to live the Christian life. And that's got to be the most insane thing. That's just as bad as an unsaved person trusting in their ability to get to heaven. It's just as bad. Can you understand that? For a Christian to think, I can get up this morning, I don't have to pray, I don't have to read my Bible, and I can still be Christian, is a foolish attempt. The carnal person trusts in their efforts. He doesn't know or has forgotten about God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's power. The carnal person forgets. He thinks it's his own love. He thinks it's by his own power, his own strength, his own intellect. He thinks he can just love everybody. And he finds out quickly that he's biting everybody's head off by 9 o'clock. Take a look at some of these verses. Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. Hey, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, a Christian forgets about God's kind of love. And we think, I got a pretty good way of knowing how to love people. You know, and this is really convicting, but Paul says in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Now, a husband naturally says, well, I love my wife. Amen? It just comes naturally to say, oh, I already love my wife. But you know, the carnal person trusts that they're probably doing it just fine. That's a carnal person. A conquering Christian realizes, I have no way, I have no strength of my own to love that woman like she deserves outside of God intervening and constantly loving her through me. We can go on there. There's so much to look at. There's plenty of scriptures that show you and remind you about our need for God to do things through us. And a person who is trying to live the Christian life on their own strength has forgotten half the Bible. Second thing. You know that they're a calm person because they have an up and down kind of spiritual life. Mainly it's down. He also, one of the signs that a person is living a carnal life is he just don't understand himself. He wants to do right, but he just cannot. And he's looking in the mirror and he doesn't know what he's seeing. That's a carnal person, amen? That is somebody who sees himself through the eyes of just a man who's saying, I don't understand. Why am I failing? So on and so forth. And I love how Proverbs says, a fool never will understand himself. And yet he seeks to discover himself all day long. He fails to draw simply upon the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. He thinks he can live it himself. And there are plenty of women who do the same thing. Plenty of women who will say, I'm a Christian. Oh, I can love my husband. I can love my kids. I can keep things in the balance. And they are crumbling because they're doing it in their own power. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter. Well, we already looked at that. Go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now that's how Paul wrote it. You wish it was written differently. But that's how Paul expressed himself. Now you know what he means. What I do want to do, I don't. What I don't want to do, I do. I don't allow it, and yet I'm the one who does it. Alright. That's a carnal person who struggles, who fights, and who battles constantly with himself. Going a little further. And I want to say the carnal person is only drawing on 3 volts of power. That's what he's doing. Putting me up against the power of the Holy Spirit, and my power is like the strength of a torch battery versus the power of the ESB. Amen? That's the difference. Now the conquering believer is the opposite. Conquering believer is the encouragement, amen? The conquering believer accomplishes God's purpose for his life, amen? But how? He does it with joy and gladness in what he does. He doesn't. You know one of the ways I know that one of you, if I meet one of you and it's Tuesday in the afternoon and you've had a bad week, but you're excited, you spent time getting your strength from the Lord, And you read your Bible and you're on track for serving God, I can tell it. You have to tell me. I read my Bible today, Pastor. You have to tell me. Because there'll be joy and gladness in what you're doing right then. There won't be this grumble, hatred, murmuring, complaining. God killed thousands of the Israelites because they just never got the message. Amen? And yet a Christian who's living the Spirit-filled life enjoys whatever they do. External circumstances will mean nothing to this person. They'll mean nothing to them. Security, as far as that person is concerned, they are secure in Christ, not in the marriage. They're secure in Christ, not in the job, whether they have it or if they're getting ready to lose it. They are secure in Christ, whether their family hates them or loves them. They're secure in Christ, whether they have friends or whether they're the loneliest people on this planet. Amen? Because they're secure in Christ. Two kinds of believers. Let me talk about briefly the purpose of spiritual power behind our lives. First of all, we need something more than our own strength to live on. If all ESB was doing was dribbling a few volts into your house, you'd be throwing them up saying, hey, something's wrong. I need more power. Amen? Or Scotty would say, I need more power. I can't do it yet. We haven't got the power. What's that? Beat me up real quick here. Get me out of here. Secondly, to accomplish anything of value, we need more. Hey, let me say this. We need more spirit than we currently possess. We need more spirit than we currently possess. I don't mean just power. Let me just make this emphasis. When God looked for a man to make a king, He saw David and He said, I have found a man after my own heart. Now that word after is really particular. After means He pursued after, not God's power, not God's blessings, not God's wealth or riches. He pursued after God's person. All He wanted was God. And what was the benefit? He got everything else with it. Solomon said, Lord, I don't know how to lead these people. God said, and he just said, give me wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for long life, because you didn't ask for the head of thy enemies, and you only asked for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you wealth and long life and the head of your enemies. Amen. You see, it's not always the answer you need. It's the right question you need. And here, we need something called spirit in us. It's a spiritual reality. Now, let me show you this. Go to look at Bezalel here. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Verse 1. There's a whole long portion of scripture here, and I'm not going to... Exodus 31... I'll just show you a few scriptures here, and I won't go all the way through, but I want you to see Exodus 31 verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses saying, speaking about how the tabernacle was going to be built in those days. Again, they didn't have a woodies, they didn't have a corner, they didn't even, they had nothing to rely on other than what they carried on their backs and on the camels. And here they were going to make this beautiful tabernacle. I want you to see, God says to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Hey, did you know a worker can be filled with the Spirit of God as he's building a house? Huh? Amen. To devise cunning works, as beautiful, intelligent works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in the cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship. Then he also brings in helpers in verse 6. He describes what he's going to be in charge of. Verse 7, the tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat, all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table, verse 8, the altar, verse 9. Also, they're going to be in charge of making all of the clothes for the priests and for the high priest. They're going to have to mix up anointing oil, verse 11. You know what's amazing? He said, I'm going to let Bezalel do it, and I will enable Bezalel to do it. Bezalel might have been a pretty good workman, but he couldn't have been up to the job, not without God giving him the Spirit. Let me show you another one. Moses, Numbers chapter 11. Moses pretty wore out. Moses has been carrying the load for a long time of leading the children of Israel. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. Moses 11 verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Stop right there. These are already proven men. These are men who already were looked up to by all the people. That's why in our church we have elders. People look up to them. People respect them. Okay, good. We can look to them for leadership. He says, I want you to get those kind of men and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which I have put upon thee, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. What an amazing statement. These are already leaders, but they were not capable of leading the children of Israel any more than Moses was. So God said, I'll make them able. I'll put the same ability the same spirit, small s, I'll put the same ability that's in you, I'll put it on them. And I know you're pushing your limit. Believe me, Moses, let's get some help in there. And those 70 men became spirit-filled helpers in the ministry. Jesus told the disciples that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, you ever think how impossible that is? 12 guys. Or 11 guys at that point. Okay, you go that way. You go that way. You go that way. And when the two of you meet, turn around and come again. I mean, it was an impossible task. Languages, distance, money, storms, cultures, religions who don't want to hear the gospel. Impossible task. So how are they going to do it? Acts 1:8, what does it say? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Before that would ever be attempted, he told them to do the following. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. They didn't believe he was real. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you. And he's smacking his lips. These are the words that I spake unto you. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You've seen all these things. Verse 49. And behold, I send, I love this, underline these words, the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Before you ever get in out there, before you ever start engaging the enemy and engaging them in the battle over the gospel, over souls of men, you better be endued with power from on high. Would you agree with that? There is a little thing going around in Cork right now which is absolutely wonderful. There's a guy going around. He's trying to discourage Christians, trying to discourage people from even looking at the Bible. I got news for you. He's wrong. God is still the God of that book, and it's true. But you know what a lot of people are trying to prepare for? They're trying to debate him. They're trying to argue with him in the power of the flesh. And you're going to run into somebody. He's plugged into a power more powerful than you are. You better be plugged into a power that's more powerful than his power that he's plugged into. Amen? Amen. Amen. Keep going. You're going to need, he asked them to spend time in prayer, asking and begging God for the empowerment of Christ's replacement on this earth, the Holy Ghost. When Peter, James, John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, all the rest of them, were standing there with Jesus Christ in their midst, nothing would go wrong, amen? They could do no wrong. Peter could even walk on water, amen? But Jesus was leaving. Hi guys. But I'm now going to send my replacement. And now, because my replacement will be in you, you won't have to wait on me. You won't have to go to where I am. He will be with you always. He will lead you, guide you, teach you, comfort you. He'll be with you always. My hand-picked replacement is the power source that you need. And you need to beg God for the empowerment of Christ's Holy Spirit in your life. And then he told him to wait for that empowerment. There are some times when, you need to spend some time in prayer. Not just go through a quick 5-minute little discourse at the side of your bed and think that's enough. Sometimes you need to spend time and say, Lord, I'm not getting anything. Lord, I can't go out there and deal with another day like this unless you go with me. Yes, Dennis. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. 16, I think at 11:6. Yes. Sure we are. It's actually is in us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. In very simple terms, the spiritual power that wants to be behind our lives needs to be more than just a bit of the power. It'd be nice for every Christian in this church to know what it means to be Spirit-filled. I hate being hungry on a Sunday night after church. I at home, and the last thing Nita wants to ask me is, are you hungry? But it's the last thing she wants to ask me because I want to get 2 humongous sandwiches with chicken and lettuce and tomato and cucumbers and pickles and lettuce and mustard and mayonnaise and cheese. 2 of them! 2 whole sandwiches! Hallelujah! I love that! Because I want to, at the end of the day, I have pushed myself, I've gobbled down a lunch between 1 and 1:20, somewhere around in there, I gobbled down a lunch and I get on my way and I'm back up the mountain and I burn it all off and I come here and I'm starving. But as soon as we say the last amen, I'm thinking of them sandwiches. And I'm thinking, I can't wait to quench this emptiness, to fill this hole that has developed where I say, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a sandwich waiting at home for me. And I look forward to it. It's not just what it's true. I don't look forward to a little nibble. Shut up. When I was, I'm on the stage. You said eat it down. I mean, I had a little nibble of the pie. We had those apple pies, and I'm sitting there, and I said, this will not satisfy, folks. And please, my illustration is funny, but the illustration is, don't be satisfied with a little nibble of the Holy Spirit. Because charismatics look at us and go, you just have a little nibble, and you know what? They're pretty well right. I have all of the Holy Spirit in me that there is to have, but I'm not plugged into them. I don't yield to him. I don't listen to him. I don't let him teach me. I'm stubborn and hard and lazy, and I'm grieving and frustrating him most of the time. Whereas if I yielded, if I listened, if I hungered for him to make me usable and then to use me, what a change we'd see. Amen? There will be nothing accomplished of eternal value without the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Now let me give you some examples. I'm going to do some here. I have too many examples. So I'm going to list some of these. I'm going to ask for 3 requests. I'm going to look at 3 of these. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, oh, I want to look at this one. And we'll look at that. And somebody else raise their hand, oh, I want to look at that one. You might want to write these down and go look at these when you get home. Let's see. Somebody give me a one you want to